Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
And good morning. It's Friday. Oh, yeah, baby. It's Friday. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise is here. So is Hans D. And Derek, I already have a beef with Hans D. But you know what? I can't really do it because Stevie is here. And Hans is obviously employee number one. And so I feel like if I air a grievance about Hans, I'll probably be fired on the air.
So let's do it.
You want to just do it? Let's do it anyway.
That would be very entertaining radio.
Hey, Hans.
Hey, Lon.
Where did you park today?
In my spot.
Oh!
I've parked there for a while now.
So we have a tree here in our parking
lot.
Great
shade.
It is. And when it's, you know, humid like it is and 90 degrees, I normally roll up into that spot because Pipes has the other tree. And so I roll up today, and the guy that hasn't been here in front, did you have to like Google the direction to Boulder Drive on your way here today? Because you
almost
haven't been here in 8 months. You're probably like, Stevie J broadcasting directions. So I get here, and Hans is there. He's parked in my spot.
It's always been my spot, though. I mean, I paid for it.
He did bring up a good point. I normally park closer to the building.
I feel kind of dumb not knowing why you would trade off between those two spots.
Because just the shade.
So rain, shine, whatever, I'm parking in that same spot every single time
you
that
do.
I park in.
Totally.
And I see you sometime in the front, sometime in the back. And I've never really come to terms with this is why he's here today and he's over there tomorrow.
That's fair. That is
but
fair.
But now it all makes sense.
Now it's just the shade. Yeah, because I don't even know why I care about that. I mean, when we leave at 6, although it's still pretty hot. But anyway, Hans, you're the star. You get the spot.
I'm consistent with where I park.
You are, and I agree with that. Now, here's the other thing. Hans always does Who You Got on Fridays, right? This is an award-winning segment. Not yet, but we want to try to make it an award-winning segment. So he gets a text to all of us and says, do you guys care if we do Who You Got early? Because I've got to leave it by 5:30. I mean, what? So the thing, that'd be like me going, hey, guys, can you do the show from 4 to 6? Because I got to leave at 4:06. Yeah, I mean,
not quite.
Not quite that bad?
No.
So you've got to get out of here.
I do.
You want to do a quick Who You Got?
We can do it.
What else we got? I'll tell you what we got today. I'll tell you that. We've got our guy, Britt Miller. He's going to join us at 5:05. He's the defensive coordinator for St. Teresa football in Decatur. That's not why we're having him on. We're having him on because he's a former Illini, played with Jay Layman, and he's just funny, man. He's just a funny dude, and we're going to pick his brain about the season coming up with Illinois football. So we'll talk to Britt at 5:05. Last night, Michael Osaki got back to me. Osaki, I think. Is it Osaki? I need to ask. It's my fault, Michael. So he is, he's the president of, it's called Baseball in the Attic, and he is the head appraiser for PSA. So if you have a baseball, football, basketball card that you think is worth some money, you can send it to Michael, and he will grade it. And, you know, you want to get like a 10. That's the best you can get is a PSA 10. But he has been on with us before. He's an Illini grad. And recently, a Honus Wagner card sold for over $6 million.
Oh, my God.
The highest that a card has ever gone for. I think it beat Mantle, Mantle was used to have the title, and now Honus Wagner has it. And somebody asked me today, why is that card worth so much? Because Honus Wagner was a pretty good shortstop for the Pirates back in '09, but he wasn't that great. You know, he's not Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle. The thing is, they didn't make many of his cards, I guess. We'll have to ask Michael that question again. But if you ever open a package of cards, or if you open a shoebox of your great-grandpa's cards, and you see a Honus Wagner in there, then you need to treat that with kid gloves and immediately get it to Michael, because he can let you know how much that thing's going to be worth. But a card just sold for over $6 million. I want to meet the person that bought it, because certainly they have enough money to just do whatever they want with it. That's the amazing thing. So we'll talk to him at 4:30. That'll be kind of cool. All right, so Hans, you want to do a little who you got?
Sure.
I mean, why not, right? We might as well.
Right.
Whoa. With the Fox theme.
Can you believe this? Let this set in for a second. Hans comes in, first time in 2 months, parks in your spot, and we are starting the show
with him,
with who you got for him so he can leave early and ditch us so he doesn't have to put in the hours.
In fact, he'll probably leave right after this.
No.
I just have a really sour feeling about what we're about to do, but hey, here we are.
He owns all the cards. Excuse the pun.
You're right.
Now, we're an ESPN station playing a Fox theme. With a snake around his neck.
Yes, Johnny.
Hans, you hosting a back-to-school bash tonight? Is that what's going on campus?
You're very close, actually.
Yeah, I imagined.
Hans will be spinning.
I know what you're up to, Hans.
Spinning the hits from the 80s. Hans Day.
All right.
You know what we didn't do?
What did we not do?
It is Friday, right?
True.
I mean, we can just do goofy stuff. Hans D is with us now.
Hello, folks.
What flight did you take today? Did you fly over to Dubai and check out the World Cup?
I'm doing that next week.
That's next week.
I'm doing that next week.
Where did you go today?
Today I went over to, I just flew over Champaign.
Oh.
I flew right over
Memorial
Stadium. Upside down. Great view of campus. Wave to all the new coming students.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
I did some touch and goes.
Oh.
Practice some landings.
On Florida Avenue?
Yes.
Okay.
Freaked some people out, but it was worth it.
And tonight you'll be reading a book?
Tonight I'll be reading a book with a cigar.
And watching?
Watching Frasier, of course.
Okay.
At 2 a.m. after camps closes, let's be honest.
Righto.
Right after. All right, let's get into it.
All right, first up, we're doing baseball.
We totally are giving in to him.
It's all right.
I didn't push anything on you guys.
Yeah. Lean into it.
Just take it. Hope the umpire understands that. Yep. Don't rub it. Just walk to first.
All right, we got the White Sox at the Tampa Bay Rays. White Sox are favorite. Who you got?
How good are the Rays?
They've been hot. They're 75-47. And we know that the Red Sox have been having a great season, but the Rays have passed them up.
That's incredible.
Now 5 games up in the AL East.
Will they ever win a World Series? Are they the best?
They were just there.
Yeah, they were. Are they the best regular season team ever for... When you throw in the fact of what they have as a payroll, I mean, every year.
They've got to be.
Somebody's really good. They know they can't pay him. They get rid of him. And they just keep stocking. They have the best evaluators of anybody in baseball. I mean, it's uncanny what the Rays do. Could I name 3 guys on the Rays?
I would think so.
Kevin Kiermaier.
Yep. If you're paying attention to a trade that was made here in the last month, got someone from the Twins.
Second baseman?
DH.
Oh. Yeah, big bopper.
Nelly Cruz.
That's right. Okay, so Cruz and Kiermaier may be all I know.
Someone from the Cardinals that you know.
Tommy Pham? No, he's with the Padres.
Hit in the World Series last year. He was a hit in the World Series last year.
Oh, our guy, Arozarena.
Yep.
Okay. Is that about it?
Probably. You got Mike Zunino.
Nope.
Yandy Diaz.
Nope.
Brandon Lau.
Nope.
Joey Wendell.
Nope.
Arozarena, Kiermaier. Manuel Margot. Austin Meadows.
I've heard that. Margot, wasn't he a leader somewhere in a country?
That sounds right.
It does. I don't know the other guy you said. I don't think I know any Rays. So I'll take the Rays over the White Sox. Why not? I mean, it makes perfect sense.
I think I just had this pulled up here. Michael Wacha starting for the Rays tonight.
Oh, wow.
CRA is near six. Now, Giolito for the White Sox. Are we talking series or just tonight?
Series.
Okay.
Wacha has an ERA of six, and he's a starter for the Rays,
who lead
the
AL
East by five games.
Yes.
Hmm.
Giolito on the bump tonight. He's kind of a key for the... I mean, he definitely is a key for the White Sox to being World Series, you know, hoisting the trophy at the very end.
No doubt.
Because he just hasn't lived up to what he's supposed to be. I'll take the White Sox will win tonight and beat Wacha. I'll say they win two out of three.
Okay. All right. Hansi?
All right. Next up, the Nationals at the Brewers. Who you got?
I just got a text from Dick Duvall, former St. Joe football coach. He is getting the field in St. Joe being dedicated to coach, and we're going to get him on. So we got to go quick.
Awesome.
Here. We got to go quick, Hans.
Let's go quick.
I'm going to take the Brewers. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, the Brewers.
Next up, we got the Pirates at the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Whoa.
Birds, and I'll be there tomorrow.
Yo, that's right.
Yep.
I think I'm going to be there Sunday. We're going to miss each other. You're going to be there for the Tommy Herr Cardinals Hall of Fame introduction. Bill White going in as well. Keith Hernandez. And John Tudor, that's the four going in. That's at 3 o'clock, by the way, at Ballpark Village. Do you know that Tom Herr and John Tudor are signing autographs tomorrow, or Sunday, excuse me, from 10 to noon? It's $35 to get their autograph.
Oh, wow.
Is that worth $35 for me to get Tommy Herr's autograph?
Probably not.
I've DM'd him before on Twitter, and he's never gotten back to me about joining the show. But he's still my favorite Cardinal ever.
Should pay the $35, give him hell about not joining the show, and then don't even take the autograph.
Say, I don't even want your autograph.
There you go. That's your boy, though.
That's, it is. I can't do that to him. And then John Tudor for his 1-0 victory over Doc Gooden back in the day. That is worth probably $35. All right, one more.
All right, Kansas City
Nobody
Royals.
Nobody cares!
I know. I don't even care.
MLB did a thing for next year in the cornfield in Dyersville, Iowa. The Reds will face the Cubs. And they put like Joey Votto and Wilson Contreras. And then there's a picture of Patrick Wisdom.
And I'm like, serious?
Oh, yeah. And our boy JJ, our buddy JJ, I had to tweet at him and I said, oh, Patrick Wisdom, the face of the Chicago Cubs. Savage!
So sad.
That's it. Patrick Wisdom and Wilson Contreras.
Oh, man.
Who else would you put? Well, you'd have to put, like, Ian Happ, wouldn't you?
I would think.
Or
Hendricks.
Or, yeah.
Why is Kyle Hendricks?
Kyle Hendricks. That was weird. Patrick Wisdom. Maybe he's from Iowa.
Maybe Hendricks is getting traded this offseason.
Oh, maybe. Kyle Eldred from Iowa. Don't ask me why I knew that. All right, NFL preseason, let's go, real quick.
Kansas City Chiefs at AZ Cardinals.
I mean.
Kyler playing?
He is. He is going to play a little. That's tonight on ESPN. I'll take the Cardinals.
I'm guessing Mahomes will not go?
Probably not.
Cardinals.
Unless he goes the series and they're up 7-0.
Yeah.
Next.
And also tonight, the Cincinnati Bengals versus Washington.
I'll take the Skins. Oh, wait. They're not the Redskins anymore.
Shirts and Skins for this game.
Right. I'll take the Washington football team. Or do they have a name now?
No, that's who they are.
Okay.
WFT. Gotta do that right.
Yeah, that could be one you could mess up in a bad way.
I don't think I get kicked off the show, but no, maybe, maybe I'll just leave with Hans after the segment if that was the case.
You guys might as well go.
And tomorrow, the Buffalo Bills versus the Bears. Mitch Trubisky coming in town.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
I saw our boy.
I got to actually bet on this.
Aaron Lemming, our guy, tweeted out. He said, hey, please, Bears fans, don't boo Mitch Trubisky. It's not his fault that the Bears were dumb enough to draft him. He didn't say it like that, but it was in uncertain terms. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll take the Bears.
Fields will outplay thoroughly Mitch Trubisky.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Hans, can you come in here, grab my phone, get the number that you need to call, and when we come back, legendary high school football coach Dick Duvall will join us here on The Drive.
Breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
The Long Branch Steakhouse has been receiving rave reviews from our Stever winners. These are real comments from customers.
Our steaks were cooked perfectly, very tender and juicy. The food was incredible, delicious with every bite.
The service was top-notch. The owner personally welcomed us and checked to make sure that everything was perfect throughout the meal.
The wait staff were friendly and prompt, and the filet I ordered was to die for. The best I've ever had.
Experience the Long Branch for yourself on Main Street in beautiful downtown Gifford. Long's Garage in Urbana is the oldest auto repair facility in the area. In fact, they've been in business 80 years. That spanned 20 presidential elections. The population of Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago was around 23,000. Now it's over 210,000, and Long's is still proudly serving all of them. There aren't many places that can survive and thrive through 80 years of outstanding service, so give Long's a shot at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or online at longsautomotiverepair.com.
Okay, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper again, 4:30. Michael Osaki, baseball in the attic, head appraiser of PSA for baseball, football cards. Be kind of a fun interview. We'll talk to him at 4:30. Britt Miller, former Illini linebacker, Decatur, pride of Decatur. He's going to join us at 5:05. Right now, speaking of football, is the legend, Dick Duvall. Coach, how are you, buddy?
Well, I would love to say I'm doing great, but I've been better. But it should be a very, very humbling evening for me here in a little bit.
I bet. And Coach, you're going to have the football field, of course, dedicated in your name. What is that going to mean to you?
Well, first of all, those things don't happen unless you have a lot of great players and great and a lot of great assistant coaches along the way. You can't do anything by yourself that big. And I've been very, very fortunate to have some very, very good football players coach and work with. And I've had some great, great assistant coaches that help me along the way that has led to some success. And we got it rolling early and just kept it going for over 25 years.
Coach, what would it be like to sit in those bleachers one Friday night, the lights shining on the field, and to see your name out there as Dick Duvall Field? What will that be like for you?
Well, it's going to be really different. I will tell you that. It's going to be, I said that one of these days my grandkids are going to be out there playing and they're going to look up there and they're going to say, that's my pawpaw.
Aww.
And, that probably means more to me than anything in the world.
I can't imagine just an entire town essentially loves football, is football crazy, and you have such a big reason for that. You were such a big reason for that. What was it like in your early years at St. Joe and for you to have the success you did? I mean, take me back, I guess, to that time, because I don't recall. I mean, St. Joe's always been a proud athletic, obviously, school. But what was football like when you started there, and then for you to grow it to where you're getting the state championships? What was that like, that descent? Or, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah, going, you know, the other way.
I got there in 1988, and we went I didn't start even coaching until the 10 or 12 days before the you could actually have practice, you know, the preseason practices started. So I will tell you that it took a little attitude changing. You know, we were a bunch of shouters, and, you know, we were pretenders more than attenders. You know, it seemed like we just pretended that we really cared instead of really wanting to care. But once we got our attitudes changed. Fortunate enough, in my second year there, we made it to the state finals. And
wow,
once we made it to the state finals in my second year, I think it showed the community, it showed the program that anything is possible if you put the work into it and you get the right kind of mental aspect of what it takes to be a successful program.
And what would you, to younger coaches today, because as you look around the landscape, Coach, you say 88, that was my senior year, which means I'm old now. When you look around the landscape and all these coaches are so young compared to you and I, what do you tell the young coaches, or what would you tell a young coach that's maybe going into a program that hasn't had maybe the success they would like, and now they're trying to turn kind of that attitude around in a school? What would be some of the things that you would tell those coaches?
Well, I think one of the first things, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. And before you worry about all the X's and O's, you need to worry about making sure that Jimmy and Joe's are all on the same page. If you can't get them lined up where they're wanting to do the little things that take to be successful and maybe sacrifice some of the glory, then you're always going to have trouble.
Sure.
And I know everybody asked me early in my career, you know, what's the secret? And I said, I think I got it in the program now that when we walk on the field, we believe we were going to win the game. And that's the battle. If you don't walk on the field believing that you're going to win the game, then you're probably not.
And that's so true, Coach. And I can think back to my high school career, and everybody can. There was always, it seems like, either you were that school, or there was always kind of that school that you played. And when you played them, you almost went into the game, whatever sport it was, going, I don't know if we can beat them. That is such a mental advantage to the other team, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's the one thing that I thought we did well early to get our program turned around, that then we were able to take on teams. So, you know, when we later on in my career, when we had a go independent and we were playing the Quincy Notre Dames and all those people, and we walked into their place and beat them, you know, our kids just knew that when they walked on the field that they were going to win.
It's incredible. Well, Coach, you are a legend in the eyes of so many people when it comes to high school football. It's amazing the career you had. We are just so excited to know that you're going to be honored tonight with this field, and to have that dedicated after you. Congratulations, Coach. For somebody that hasn't gotten a chance to really get to know you that well through the years, I've always from a distance respected you. So congratulations, Coach.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate that.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Thank you. That is Dick Duvall, of course, the former coach at St. Joe Ogden, the legend, numerous state championship appearances in St. Joe. And boy, did he hit it on the head there. The idea that he wanted his team to know when they took the field that they would win. How many times did a fellow team play St. Joe in football and say, well, I don't think we can beat them? I mean, that is such a mental edge. It's ridiculous, Pipes.
Right.
I mean, when you're that other team and you're like, oh, man, we got to play them tonight. It's like, or when the season schedule comes out and you immediately look ahead and say, oh, we got St. Joe in week 4. Ugh. Well, he is one of the best guys. And I'll never forget when the old Tay and Jay days with Jeremy, and we still have some T-shirts in here from then, but we had coaches come in for a preview and to do all this. And Jeremy and I had set it up to where we'd set up two or three of these a day. And normally we'd call. And Coach Duvall was like, I'll come in. So we said, well, listen, we're going to do the interview about 3:15 or 3:20. He was here at like 2:30. So we get here, and he's been here for 30 minutes. And I'm like, and you know how we are right now. Yeah. We come in at 4:02, maybe 4 if we're lucky. And he had been here for 30 minutes. And I'm like, Coach, I am so sorry. He's like, that's not your fault. You told me when to get here. I just wanted to get here. So he came in, and Jeremy and I just sit there. We just sat there and talked to him for about 6 minutes leading up to the show. And unfortunately, we had to start the show because I was having so much fun just talking to Coach Duvall. I didn't even want to do the show. I'm like, can we just open the mics right now and just let him tell stories? And it was just a wonderful thing. So we get done with his interview. And, you know, he's in the same room with us. And, of course, you know, we're like, well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Let's take a quick break when we come back. So we take the break. And for 5 minutes, he sat here and talked to Jeremy and I. We were laughing about other things. So we're like, all right, we got to get going on the show, you know. So we start the show, and he leaves. And we get done with the next segment. We go outside the door, and he's still here. He's talking to Stevie and stuff. He was here for like 2 hours. And he was just loving it, and everybody was loving it, just talking to Coach Duvall. It's a wonderful thing. And
that's awesome.
And it's just, I'm so proud of him and just so excited for him to get this honor tonight. It is a wonderful thing, a field being dedicated after you. I mean, that'll live on in infamy. And as he said, his grandkids will go play on that field and say, that's my papa.
Yeah.
That one tugged at the heart right there. All right, when we come back, let's talk some baseball, football, all the card collecting. If you're somebody that, because right now this is hot again. And I, by the way, did you know Major League Baseball cut ties with Topps?
Did they really?
I think I just saw that. After like 75 years. That's weird. We'll have to ask Michael Osaki about that.
Topps has been doing some 70th anniversary baseball this year. So I'd be 70 on the button.
It must be. And I think, we'll ask Michael. I think they cut ties with Topps. I think I saw that on Twitter. That's incredible if that's the case. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
Illini Link is the University of Illinois Alumni Association's new professional networking and flash mentorship platform. Join the Illinois alumni community at IlliniLink.illinois.edu. Network with other alumni in your industry. Mentor students or other alumni in a short-term or long-term format, depending on your availability. Find a mentor for yourself. Join the Illini Link community today at IlliniLink.illinois.edu. Go Illini!
Want to bring more smiles to your sparkling water? Introducing Bubbly from Pepsi. A delicious sparkling water with no calories, no sweeteners, all smiles, with 16 flavors. And now, Bubbly Bounce delivers all of the delicious flavor and hydration of the original, now with just a kick of caffeine. Pick up some Bubbly the next time you're looking for a refreshing change. Brought to you by Pepsi Cola, Champaign Urbana Bottling Company. Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Hey, Atlanta fans, Jets Pizza is hiring both full and part-time team members. If you enjoy people and you're looking for a fast-paced, high-energy job, then Jets is the place for you. Need some extra cash? Starting pay is $12 an hour, and there's potential for promotion based on attitude and performance, and you'll get a good employee discount. The hardest part of the job is being around that amazing aroma of the homemade pizza sauce. Drive for Jets. Be a part of the Jets family today. Apply online at jetspizza.com. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Illini football is right around the corner. Get down to the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit, to gear up for your return to Memorial Stadium this fall. With their great selection of football designs and tailgate necessities, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for Illinois football fans. Visit one of their convenient locations at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. We're back with John Maxwell's Live to Lead this year at the iHotel. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy your tickets. Let's get inspired and shake off the cobwebs from our brains after a very tough year. We will be in the new large conference room at the iHotel Friday, October 8th. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy tickets for you and for your whole team. Every attendee will receive a copy of my new book that will be published this year. Buy your tickets and come and get inspired with me. HabibHabib.com.
Hey kids, want to hear a scary story? It was a dark and stormy night, and suddenly, from out of nowhere, a noise. It was a company's hard drive failing after being struck by an IT disaster. Kids? Where'd you go?
It might not sound scary, but over 90% of small businesses fail within 2 years after being struck by an IT disaster. Let Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign design a recovery plan for you. Give them a call at 359-8041.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lotte, Derek Piper. We got Brent Miller coming up at 5:05. I always look forward to that. We were going to do Who You Got at 5:30, but Hans D., who has some elaborate invite-only party going, it sounds like. Did you get yours?
Invite?
Yeah.
No.
Do you want to just crash it?
Well, he told us about it, so we're definitely going to.
I know where he lives.
I should know.
I kind of know where he lives. I think we ought to crash the party. Hans, we're crashing your party.
Nice.
Do you have some Bud Light ice down?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I'll be there then.
Coors Banquet.
What happened?
Coors Banquet.
Coors
you
Banquet.
You know those?
No. What is a Coors
They're
Banquet?
Really good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Nah, I just pretty much stick to Bud Light.
Yeah.
You know, tried and true. Kind of gets me through the day.
Very basic.
That kind of sounds, that doesn't sound good. Like I sit here and drink Bud Light all day. That's not the case, I promise you, although some people when I do the show think that that's the case. So, all right, Hans, have fun with your party.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. It is time now to hit the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Great to visit with Dick Duvall. That was awesome. Of course, the field being dedicated tonight. Now we're going to switch gears. It's called Baseball in the Attic. He's the president. He's also the head appraiser of a company called PSA. They are the ones that let you know if your baseball card is in tip-top shape. He is a U of I grad, Michael Osaki. How are you, Michael?
I am great, Lon. Happy Friday.
Amen, buddy. You've had meetings all day, so we get you out of a meeting, and now you got to have a meeting with us, I guess.
That's right, but you know what? I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I appreciate it, Michael. And, you know, it's always neat because I know the last time we had you on, we had a lot of people that started reaching out about certain things, and certainly we want to make sure that everybody knows, and it's at Baseball Attic is the Twitter handle for Michael Osaki. If you have a question about maybe a baseball card or a football card, whatever kind of card you have that you might think has some value, Michael's the guy to talk to. How did you get, I think I asked you this the last time, but I kind of want to go back to that. How did you get involved in this and get involved with doing like Baseball in the Attic?
In 1997, my grandfather for my birthday got me a shoebox of old baseball cards. And it got me on the hunt of not only trying to find more of the cards, but also really understand the values of them. So if I have two of the same cards, why is one worth $10 and one's worth $100?
Wow.
Well, I started to learn it was about the condition, the corners, the centering. Are there any print defects? All that good stuff. And that's how I got started.
And you know, Michael, you looked at one of my cards. I have the, of course, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird rookie card that has Dr. J in the middle. And I, at 10 years old, was smart enough to throw that into a case so that the corners look great, but there's just a little bit of a issue with, like, the coloring and stuff. It's amazing that we don't realize to the layman about how you guys look at a card to see exactly what should be perfect.
That's right. And unfortunately, most people think that what they have is a perfect 10 and it's worth $1 million, but that's almost never the case. In fact, that's why cards are so valuable today, because they're graded on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, but there might only be two 10s of a card in the entire world, and that's why it's so valuable. And then you go down from 9 to an 8, so a 10 could be, let's say, $500,000, but a 9 could be $20,000, and an 8 could be $3,000.
Michael, I know last time we spoke with you, we talked a little bit about the boom that the industry was feeling during 2020 and COVID and pandemic and everything. What is the status now? Is it still on an upward trajectory? Is it leveled off a little bit? What's the status of the card industry at this current date?
It's still going bonkers and bananas. A couple of weeks ago in Chicago, we had the annual Sports Collectors Convention. We had record attendance, record sales at the show, and then record auction sales after the show. In fact, a couple days ago on Sunday, a Honus Wagner T206 card sold for $6.6 million, which is a new world record for that card, but also a new world record in the entire sports collectibles hobby. Nothing has ever sold for over $6 million until Sunday.
Was Mantle second? That's the second highest. Is that right?
It's tied. Yeah. So Mantle PSA 9 sold in January for $5.2 million, and then a LeBron James also sold for $5.2 million, and then at the show actually a couple weeks ago, a Patrick Mahomes card sold for $4.3 million.
What?
Whoa!
Wow. Why is it's funny you say Honus? I've always said Honus Wagner. I've always said that wrong, I guess. Why is that card so valuable? I mean, he was a pretty good little shortstop for the Pirates, I think, but I didn't know he was that good. What makes that card such a valuable card? Because it's one that I've heard about since I was like 20 years old.
Right, because that's the holy grail of card collecting. But the value of the card really has nothing to do with how great he was, or you know, he was a Hall of Famer, nothing at all. What happened was, there's two different theories. In 1909, when the card was printed and manufactured, Honus did not want his image, his likeness, to be associated with tobacco products. Don't forget that card was inserted into packages of tobacco products.
Wow.
So Honus thought, wow, kids are going to think of me with tobacco. I don't want that. Secondarily, maybe another reason why it's so valuable, and I'll tell you the print run in a second, is because he was not getting paid for his image on the card. Regardless, he called up American Tobacco Company and said, remove my image from the card. And they did so, but at that time, a lot of them had already been sent out to the five and dime stores and distribution centers across the country.
Wow.
So here we are today. There's only about 55 or 60 of them known in the entire world. And so that's why it's so valuable, because of the backstory and the limited population run.
That is amazing. Michael Osaki is our guest. Baseball in the Attic. He's the president. Also a head appraiser for PSA. Follow him on Twitter, at Baseball Attic. How many do you think, how many of those Wagner cards were either destroyed or are out there and nobody even knows that they have them?
It's hard to answer that question as far as how many are destroyed, but I'm pretty confident at this point in time, it's been over 100 years since that card was printed, that there probably are not that many in people's attics or garages or barns or closets waiting to be found. I think at this point in time, if someone had a card like that, they would have probably had it graded by now and encapsulated by PSA. I could be wrong. Maybe there are some raw cards out there, but if I am wrong, it's going to be single digits, meaning like three cards or less.
That's incredible.
Michael, you mentioned the Mahomes card. For a player that's still playing and relatively early in his career, what made that that card in particular so valuable, you know, upwards of $4 or $5 million?
Yeah, so that card from his rookie year, 2017, the NFL Shield logo patch was on the card. It's a one-of-one, and also his signature was on the card as well. And that card is a speculative investment, I should say, as opposed to the Honus Wagner, which is like a blue-chip stock. Patrick Mahomes is more respected by because, yes, he looks great on paper. He's won a Super Bowl, and he could win some more Super Bowls, but we don't know. We just don't know. Could he get injured? Could he not play as well? And so people are assigning a very high multiple to his cards, and that's why it sold for $4.3 million.
What is the demand of a Shohei Ohtani, who's about to likely win his first MVP for like this year or whether it be his rookie year, just kind of, again, speculative based on the type of player that he's shown that he could be?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in his cards for multiple reasons, and not just this country, but also Japan and foreign interest. However, he has been known to get injured. So, you know, people are buying up his cards like crazy right now, and hopefully he remains healthy. But again, because he's playing, things could happen. There are two different types of collectors, people that buy cards like that and the Patrick Mahomes, and then people that buy cards of people who are no longer alive and are solid, potentially solid blue chip investments, like a Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays.
For those that might have come new into the market within the last year, where is most of their interest? Is it in a certain era? Is it the throwbacks to the Mantles, the Honus Wagner, is it kind of split? Or how would you kind of gauge where most of that interest has been here recently?
That's a great question, Derek. Most of the interest is in the modern stuff, the shiny, newer things. So people buying boxes or new packs and opening them up live on social media and hoping for that great chase card. Maybe it's Justin Herbert. Maybe it is Patrick Mahomes. Who knows? But most of the interest has been in the modern cards recently, and the people that are interested in those cards generally skew younger, 30 and below.
That's cool. That's cool because, I mean, that's when I – that was, you know, below 20 was when I was buying cards back in the day. Tops and Major League Baseball no longer – joined, I guess. How amazed were you when you heard that news, Michael?
That was huge news yesterday, and I would encourage all your listeners after this radio session to go look it up. That was probably the biggest news of the hobby of all time, and wow. I've been involved in the hobby for 24 years now. So in case people didn't know, in a couple of years, when the contracts run out with Topps, and NFL and the NBA with Topps and Panini, Topps and Panini will no longer be manufacturing cards. Topps has been manufacturing baseball cards since 1951, so that's 70 years. Well, that's going to stop in 2025. And Fanatics, which most people know of being the online e-tailer, is going to have that contract and produce baseball cards.
Everything changes, doesn't it, Michael? I mean,
yes. I think it's really interesting because the unions and the players' associations now are going to have a vested interest in these card collecting or in these cards, and
sure.
So they could potentially make a lot more money than what they're making right now with Topps.
Do you think Topps will do anything here in the last couple of years of their existence that would make a card be really valuable in the future? In other words, do you think they have anything up their sleeves that if you bought a Topps card here in the next couple of years that maybe 20, 30 years down the line, you may have hit it big?
Absolutely. And they're definitely going to try something. What? I don't know. And they do have several years. They got about 3 years to kind of figure that out. And I will say, you know, in the last couple of years, Topps has been a really good business. The revenues have been growing, both the top line and the bottom line. So it's been a well-run, profitable business. But really, after 2025, they don't have a business. I mean, there's no more baseball cards being produced by them.
What is the most valuable card you've appraised, Michael?
Luckily, I've been fortunate enough that I've actually appraised two of the Tito 6 Honus Wagner cards.
Holy cow.
So the one that sold for $6.6 million, I did not appraise. I've sold a couple of lesser versions, but each one was a seven-figure card.
That is unbelievable. Michael Osaki, he is the head appraiser for PSA. We had a question come in on our U of I Atlanta Link text line from Lucas. Please ask him, what's the best and fastest way to get cards graded through PSA now? So for our listeners out there, what would be the best way to reach out to Michael Osaki and get a card graded?
You could reach out to me, either find me on Twitter or on my website, Baseball in the Attic. Or email michael@baseballintheattic.com, and I'll take a look at what you have. However, you need to understand grading right now is very expensive. So it doesn't always make sense from a financial perspective to have something graded. It costs $200 a minimum right now to have a card graded. So you want to make sure that the condition makes sense in order to have it graded.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I know that's something that you and I discussed earlier about when I was talking about that Magic and Larry card, et cetera, and it is something that if somebody thinks, you know, that they do have a card that would be of some value, it might be worth doing that, and of course, reaching out to Michael, and you're up in the Chicago area, I believe. Is that correct?
Say that again, Lon.
You're up in the Chicago area, right? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Chicago, but I travel a lot. I travel about 125 days out of the year.
Wow. Okay, there you go. Well, Michael Osaki, it is always fun to get you on. Baseball in the Attic, he's president of that. That's a way you can get a hold of him. On Twitter, it's @BaseballAttic. And then, of course, head appraiser for PSA. There's always ways to find Michael Osaki, and I just know somebody in the Champaign-Urbana area or in small towns, somebody has that shoebox full of cards that right now they're sitting there going, I got to get to my mom's house and look through those cards and see what I got. So, Michael, it is always a pleasure to visit with you, my friend. Of course, an Illini fan. Are you excited about Nebraska, Illinois coming up?
Yeah, next Saturday. Go Illini. ILL.
Let's go, baby. I love it. Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bon. Have a great weekend.
You too, my man.
Bye, Derek.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay,
All right, that is Michael Osaki. Good stuff there. And I apologize, Dan. I didn't get a chance to ask him about the Ricky Henderson rookie card. I think, you know, there's ways I think you can still find that out. What kind of got me interested in talking to him when we did that originally, and I know a lot of you guys listening have heard that story, but I was driving home one time and looking at a sports book, you know, that has the values of all the cards, and I knew I had a George Brett rookie, and it's pretty valuable. It's like $100. And then I was staring through like, what are some of the more expensive cards? And it said, you know, a Bird Magic rookie card from 1980, or it's a 79. Well, I think it's actually an 80 card because they both graduated college in 79. So, and then it had Dr. J in the middle, and it was one of those weird years where they're perforated. So you can actually like bend the card and then perforate it and cut it to where you'd have three cards. And for some reason, I had a drawer. My brother and I had a drawer at my mom's house that was full of these cards. And I'm like, I know we've got those. So the next time, and this is a long time ago, this is when I lived down in Sullivan, Illinois. So I drove up to Mom's the next time, and I opened that drawer, and there they were, just scattered throughout. Some of them ripped. You know, when I say ripped, I don't mean ripped in a bad way, but where you could rip them. And then over on the corner, there's one sitting in a glass case, essentially, and it's that card. It's Bird, Magic, and Dr. J. And I'm like, holy crap. And I said, worse than that. And I was like, and the corners are perfect. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I get to thinking, okay, how much, I wonder, is really the value of this card? And I start Googling, and there was the first story I find is that card sold for like $118,000. And I'm like, okay, now hold on a second. And so I got a hold of my brother, and I'm like, I was telling him the story, and I'm like, we need to get this thing graded, you know, because who knows? So I started looking. So a 9 or a 10, like he went through it there, Michael did, but on this particular card, a 9 or a 10 can be sold anywhere from $80,000 to $125,000. An 8 sells for about $8,000. A 7 sells for like $70. And anything below that's like $5.
Oh, my gosh.
So I got it to Michael and let him look at it. And he essentially was like, that's about a 6. And I'm like, what? So in a matter of, oh, I don't know, that 1 minute that I had to read the email, I went from thinking I had a $100,000 card down to a $5 card.
Well, 6 was 70, right?
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. He said you could probably sell it for 100. And I'm like, I'll just keep it. Because Dr. J was my favorite basketball player. And again, I was either 9 or 10. I mean, I would have turned 10 in October of 1980. So I think the only reason I put that card and protected it was because of Dr. J. I didn't realize. I knew how good Bird and Magic were because they played in the 79 title, you know. But I didn't know that they were going to be that good. So I protected that card because of Dr. J. Now it's worth 100. Dang it! But it's weird because as you look at the card, I think
Isn't
I brought it in.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I brought it in for you guys to see. And I'm like, and you can tell there's a couple of areas that, you know, they look not due to me. And that's what Michael told me, personally off the air. He was just like, you know, look, you could have a card that you just opened that grades out as a 6. It's not your fault. It's just the way that was made, the coloring on the card, just different factors that go into it. And that's what makes it amazing, you know, to think that card is either worth $100 or $100,000. And I'm like, oh, of course I'd be the guy that has the $100 card. You know what, though? It's a cool card.
It is really cool.
It'll probably now just be in my casket with me, I guess. I mean, I don't know what else to do with it unless the boys want it. Maybe by then it'll be worth $110.
Cool hobby, though. Makes me want to.
It does.
Get in my mom's attic, which is a bad place for my probably 5 to 7 Kobe Bryant rookie cards.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of Jordans. I need to get those.
Do you still? Does your mom still have them at her house?
Oh, yeah.
How many people still have their cards at their parents' house? Like, if you're a parent, at what point do you just finally say, hey, Derek, if you want to come get these thousands of baseball cards that you have here, that would be, that's pretty funny. I hope a lot of people now go out and just kind of look through your cards. And, you know, the other thing that can happen is you can have an error on a card. You know, like they could put the wrong team or misspell a name or, and a lot of times those cards are worth money. So you just never know. You never know what you got in the attic, and it's pretty cool, and that's why it's always fun to visit with Michael Osaki. All right, when we come back, Britt Miller, we'll ask Britt, A, is his card worth anything, and B, does he have any cards? We'll talk to him next, the former Illini, getting ready for Illinois and Nebraska next Saturday. Let's go! It is The Drive.